You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, a very special guest and a good friend, Congressman Gregory Meeks. How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm doing great. Anytime I'm with you, my Mr. President, I'm in good shape.
Very good. I'm glad to have you back on the show. Now, before we begin, I want you to tell our audience the committees that you are on.
Okay. Well, I serve on the Financial Services Committee, where I am the chair of the Subcommittee on Consumer Protection and Financial Institutions, as well as Capital Markets. And I'm also serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee, where I'm the vice chair of the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee, as well as on the Europe Subcommittee.
Very good. Now, let's begin. Let's talk about your role with the Financial Services Committee. Let's talk about something that everyone can relate to, payday loans.
We just did a hearing on that in my subcommittee. Mm-hmm. Because we do not want individuals to be saddled with debt forever. We understand the need for individuals to have access to capital, you know, especially folks that don't have a lot of money, but we don't want them to be charged these 100% interest rates and rollover loans. So what we want to do, and what my hearing was about that we held about a month ago, was A, we want to get some other banks into the business that will charge at maximum, you know, some reasonable interest rates so that they won't be penalized. They will not be able to roll them over. And individuals, because what we have found is individuals in especially poor communities. I know my dad was in this scenario often when I was growing up. You know, you might be trying to get to work. Your car broke down. You need $300 to fix your car, and you need it till you get your paycheck or some other time, so you need to get a short, low-dollar loan. Well, currently, banks are not doing it, and these payday lenders, not in the state of New York, by the way, but in other states, it's not legal for them to have them in the state of New York, they are charging, you know, you get $300, you don't pay it back on time, so you end up paying $600, that rolls over, and you keeps going on and on, and you're in debt forever. We want to get rid of that, and we want to get banks back into this business so that they can, I think that it's a community service, so they may be able to get CRA credit, we're working on that also, so that folks will have some access to capital without being put into a scenario where they get into debt that they can't get out of.
Very good, very good. Now, also, tell us about the leveraged lending. Is that the same thing?
No.
No.
Leveraged lending is more for businesses. We just did a hearing on that also. Leveraged lending, you know, the best way to describe it is Toys R Us, who went out of business. They were sprawled in debt. And they were able to get money outside of the financial institutions. It was non-financial institutions. And they then leverage that money that they're giving. So the concern is that if, in fact, it becomes contagious, like what we had with the financial crisis of 2008, you know, there's too much lending and then everybody goes into default and it could bring the whole financial system down. Well,
yes.
Our hearing is and was we want to make sure that the regulatory agencies that we set up during Dodd-Frank in the financial crisis, that they start looking into the practice of leveraged lending so that they can come back and tell us, the public and members of Congress, that there is no way that that this type of lending will cause a systemic risk, which then would become contagious and possibly bring down the entire financial system. So we want them to look at it, and we have put various regulators in business just to do that. We do not want to ever go back to what took place in 2008, where our entire financial system was put at stake.
Now, how would that work? How would, say, somebody company is going to apply for a loan, and how would the regulators work, and who would they go to?
Well,
to get a loan.
This is basically outside of the, because it's non-financial institutions. You know, sometimes it is it's private equity guys, and private equity money in that regard. So you go there. And the question is, if there's too many companies doing it at the same time and they all go bankrupt and everybody in there loses their jobs, because you can lose jobs also. And so, you know, then can that then catch on in another way? And it then become contagious and bring down the entire system. Now, we don't know, but we need the regulators to study and look back and come back and tell us whether or not that's a possibility. We don't want to wait until it's too late. We want somebody to look and to be able to tell us now, or say, well, there's a possibility, but we've got a mechanism in place that if that happens, to prevent it from being contagious so that we can isolate it and allow that one company just to go out of business as opposed to bringing down the entire system.
Got it. Now, of course, you represent Southeast Queens as part of your district. And back in 2008, there was a lot of foreclosures. And I believe Southeast Queens had the most mortgage crisis and mortgage closings in New York City.
That is correct.
Where are we today, 11 years later, 10 years later, from that crisis?
We are rebounding. We haven't completely rebounded. We are rebounding. Many individuals who lost their homes are still out. They're renters. They can't get back into their homes now. And because of, in certain areas, some of those homes are still vacant. And we're trying to make sure that we get individuals back into, because I still believe home ownership is tremendously important. Home ownership is still an opportunity to get a appreciating asset, as opposed to, you know, we have this saying in Southeastern Queens, you know, buy a home and rent the car. Because if you buy the home, it's an appreciating asset, where a car is a depreciating asset. So we still have that. But we're trying to now, we're bringing in a program called NACA for first-time homeowners and individuals. It will help them apply for and be eligible for mortgages that's at market rate with low down payment. So that we can make sure that the homes that are still boarded up, et cetera, are now being bought by individuals who are desiring to move into one. So we're recovering now. We definitely are recovering.
Very good. Now, what about the communities that have been historically left behind? Can you tell us about any hearings that you've held on communities that have been historically left behind?
Well, basically, that's what the trying to get rid of the payday loans is all about. Because those are communities that have been left behind, but also on a banking need, Community Reinvestment Act. That's about trying to make sure that those that are doing business in these left behind and underdeveloped communities, that the banks and all those financial institutions, you know, who have customers there, then they need to invest in those communities also. So we want to make sure that there is investment in these communities that will bring it up and give it some of the same amenities that other communities have. You know, whether it's restaurants and stores where you get decent food and affordable housing, that becomes tremendously important in that regards. And so we've had hearings on CRA. We will continue to do that. And in our district, we're also trying to make sure, because one of the big pieces of redevelopment that's taking place there is happening at John F. Kennedy Airport. And we see this as a huge opportunity for individuals who to get jobs, to be employed, for minority businesses to get to work, for working collaboratively with labor unions, and so getting folks to get a skill, or, you know, to be trained so they can have a skill on this job and other jobs. Also trying to make sure that there's equity opportunities. So we're trying to make sure that people of color is involved from every level in regards to this project, and some other communities that have been left behind, like South Jamaica, like Far Rockaway. We're focused on trying to get things done there on the ground, working in conjunction with my colleagues in both the city council and the state legislature.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237. Our very special guest is Congressman Gregory Meeks. Are you familiar with the Opportunity Zone?
I am.
Can you tell our audience, one, what is the Opportunity Zone, how it came into existence, and how is that good for, I would say, business?
Well, it came into existence primarily from Senator Scott of South Carolina working with an idea for helping rural America initially, really, because there's a lot in his district in South Carolina.
Yes, South Carolina.
And trying to get individual businesses to invest large sums of money in communities of need. And as a result of that, those investors receive a tax benefit and break for that type of investment. And it goes around the country. The governors of the states determines which communities are, in fact, eligible to fit within a opportunity zone. And then the developers look and they invest good sums of money to build and to create opportunities where there may not have been any. And so Governor Cuomo has designated certain areas as potential opportunity zones. I don't know of one yet in New York. I know I've seen some in other parts of the country that is starting to be built upon, but we're in the very beginning stages of that. So it could be a good return on investment to a degree for a business that's involved. I would hope, though, that most of the money that's invested, we figure out ways to make sure the money stays in the community. So, for example, a CDFI, Community Financial Development Institution, those are the smaller banks that are in the communities that generally individuals would go to get a mortgage or to get an auto loan, et cetera. So I would hope that the big businesses, these are sort of really the investors are the large sums, that they go into those banks, which will help strengthen those banks, thereby help the communities and community institutions when there needs to be loans or there needs to be other kinds of services that are important to the community. So we're trying to make sure that that's locked in. So it hasn't happened to the degree that I think it should in the state of New York yet, but it's something that's there. And we know, we're trying to make sure that it's not just benefiting people in rural America, but we can also utilize it as a benefit for people in urban America.
Now, are there any federal tax incentives attached to this bill, this empowerment zone?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's what
it's all about. That's exactly right. There, you get a favorable tax benefit by investing in these opportunity zones. That's part of the reward for the investors.
Very good. That was a good piece of legislation that no one knew was there.
That's right.
I believe that came out of the tax cut. That was a bill that was like a few sentences in the tax cut.
Well, it is, but it was worked on by Senator Tim Scott beforehand, but he utilized that as an incentive to try to push what I still believe is a horrible bill, the tax cut bill, because it's devastating for people in New York with the state and local tax deduction being eliminated. It's very good for those who are super rich, but for the middle class and poor Americans, many of whom thought that they would see some more in their tax returns, tax rebates, and they did not see anything. In fact, it showed that there's billions of dollars, millions and billions of dollars for those of the Trump types as far as the tax benefits are there, but it's not at the same level, nowhere near, for the average American.
A year ago, you would have gotten a debate. A year later, after everyone went and filed their taxes, I believe they're beginning to see that you know what you're talking about when
Absolutely.
It comes to that tax bill. So as a senior member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, let's discuss some foreign affairs issues. One, let's start with Venezuela. What is going on with Venezuela? What's going on?
It's a troubling time down in Venezuela. You have a president, Nicolas Maduro, who succeeded Hugo Chavez. He's not as charismatic, nor does he have the same kind of focus that some have, and the people of Venezuela thereby are suffering. And so you had the head of the National Assembly decide in that the last election for president that Maduro barely won was an illegal election. In other words, he did not win that fairly and squarely. So he declared himself to be the interim president. And so there's a struggle now in who is the president. And there's a huge movement for those stressing that Maduro should resign. In the interim, you know, Maduro is blocking aid and other things from coming in to benefit many of the Venezuelan people. So they're suffering. They're hungry. There's no power in many places. Education is not happening the way it should. You know, it's an oil-rich country, but they're not pumping oil and not making the money that they should from that. None of it is going back to the people. So you have a number of individuals on or in the country that are suffering. Then you have the Lima countries, which are the countries that border it, that are also, because you have people that are running or fleeing from Venezuela for asylum in Colombia and Peru and Brazil. And, you know, you've got millions. I've been down to the borderline just watching how many people are coming across to try to get food or job or shelters. So you got millions that are trying to flee Venezuela coming across the border. And so currently there's negotiations that are going on, I know, with the government of Norway, and I think that the Pope is involved, the Vatican, trying to negotiate something that I think would cause for Maduro to leave and there to be new elections, because the bottom line that has to happen in Venezuela, there's got to be some new elections had there. Hopefully they would be peaceful, fair, and free so that the people of Venezuela can stop the suffering that they're currently going under.
Peaceful, fair, and free. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. We're talking with Congressman Gregory Meeks, and we're talking about foreign affairs. Our next topic of foreign affairs, let's talk about North Korea.
Here again is a scenario where I just quite frankly feel that the president, well, I don't know any other way to put it, got played by Kim Jong-un. Here's a guy that is a ruthless dictator who is killing and starving his own people, and who we've got tremendous amount, as we do Venezuela, but tremendous sanctions against the country. And we've given him now a national audience. We saw in the first summit meeting where the president, and he continually calls Kim Jong-un his friend, but we want them to not and to stop and do not utilize nuclear weapons, which we feel is a danger to the United States of America and to our allies, South Korea and Japan. And, you know, he gave the pretext of stop testing, but we know he's already basically have a nuclear weapon, and he's still testing some short-range ballistic missiles. And it's reported that because the last summit did not go the way that he wanted it to, that the individual who was in charge of it has now disappeared, and many believe that he was ordered killed or murdered by Kim Jong-un. So Kim Jong-un is not a nice guy. And I think that, you know, and it is true that his father before him and others have continued to be moving in a nefarious way in attempting to have a nuclear weapon, which puts a direct threat on, as I said, South Korea, Japan, and the United States of America.
Yeah, it was reported that he killed a messenger.
That is correct.
It was also reported that he had his half-brother killed.
Some time ago.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And, you know, folks starving. People, I'm sure, saw the pictures of a North Korean soldier trying to escape, and he was trying to get across the border from North Korea to South Korea, and saw the soldiers of North Korea, you know, shooting at him as he was trying to run to defect. It's a It's a vicious.
What was the final outcome? They were shooting at him. They got him?
No, he made it across. He made it across. He was wounded, but he was still alive, and he got into him. He, you know, took him in and gave him asylum, and so he's still here.
Okay. Did they ship him to the United States, or did he stay in South Korea?
No, I'm sure he was crossing to the South Korean borders, but I think there was some kind of deal that they were working to get him to the United States.
Okay. So let me ask you, speaking of killing, let me ask you about Khashoggi. What is the latest with the Khashoggi killing? We already know that he was ordered killed by the Saudi prince. And we already know that no one's really talking about that anymore, and he's gotten away with it.
Again, I think that, you know, I've got a tremendous problem with the Saudi Arabian government. And we keep, you know...
And we're also supporting them in the war in Yemen.
It's a terrible scenario. And the Foreign Affairs Committee, under Chairman Elliot Engel, just last week, uncovered and became publicly against an arms sales of some horrific weapons that the United States wants to sell to Saudi Arabia. And clearly, from looking at the type of weapons that they want to purchase and that the United States and the administration, the Trump administration wants to sell, they are weapons that does not, in my estimation, belong in the hands of Saudi Arabia, given what they're doing in Yemen and other places. And so I'm hopeful that the Congress will step up, since we are the ones that have the power of the purse, and block this sale. So we sent a message out and sent a letter out to the administration this week, talking about our strong objections to the sale of these military weapons to Saudi Arabia, who we know, you know, is a nation also of vast human rights violations, vast discrimination against women. And we feel that, what is taking place in Yemen, we should not be the ones that are participating in that war, where thousands upon thousands of innocent men, women, and children are dying on a daily basis.
Are you at liberty to say what these weapons are? Or is that classified at this point?
Well, I don't want to say at this point. It may be declassified, but they are weapons of war. In a very big way.
Well, that's a huge message. And let's go back. I got 2 minutes. Let's go back to Kim Jong-un. He sent Otto Warmbier practically back here in a body bag. They beat that young college student, starved him, did whatever they wanted to do, and sent his dying corpse back to his parents.
Yeah, and the Trump administration, you know, was thanking Kim Jong-un profusely for doing that, as opposed to what put him in that physical condition in the first place. I just think it's a horrific scenario. And where Kim Jong-un, who wanted to get on the world stage, you know, gave him back, never apologized, never really came clean as to what and why he was in the condition that he was in. Once he was returned, it was just a matter of days before he was in fact gone. So I still think that Kim Jong-un, for that and other reasons, needs to be held accountable.
Yes, that's unfortunate. 30 seconds. Do you have anything that you want to say to our audience before we have to say goodbye?
Well, my 30 seconds would be that I do believe that we're in the greatest country that this planet has ever seen. We've got a lot of problems we've got to deal with, especially on the world stage. But as we celebrate this past week, D-Day, 75 years of the ending of World War II, it shows what we can do if we work with our allies and we stand together to create better freedoms and justice for all of our mankind and all of our citizens here in the United States of America.
Thank you. That's all the time we have for Reaching Out. Our very special guest was Congressman Gregory Meeks. Gregory Floyd, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.